This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Hi guys, welcome in COBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host Jake Burns, and we have what is, you know, NFL list time. It's silly, it's arbitrary, it's super subjective. All of the corny things that you want to kind of put in there. I'm going to add my good friend John Colosimo, who is going to join me tonight. We're going to talk about lists, man. These stupid NFL lists, because, you know, you guys don't have anything to talk about from the Browns. We don't have anything to talk about from the Browns. We might as well just make fun of other people's terrible list of players, right? You know, John,
These are always terrible ideas.
They're just terrible ideas. They are. But we got to talk about something this time of year, and it's kind of fun. It can be fun. Fun's an interesting word choice. I don't know if that's the right one. It's an interesting thing to see what other people outside the league think of Cleveland players. You know, I fall into this trap of like trying to play the middle ground between the Browns. Baker Mayfield is a perfect example, between way too much love for Baker Mayfield within Brown circles and then way too much hatred for Baker Mayfield outside of Brown circles. And it's like, I try to find what is the middle ground truth there, right? I try to find that as best I can. I know you and I have a lot of conversations off air about it, but like, that's the only thing this does for me is show me, you know, Marcus Spears, right? John had an interesting Browns are the most talented roster in the AFC. I like to hear people who try to study the rest of the league, what they think. And this thing kicks off. Let me share this. Again, this is Pete Prisco. All credit to CBS. I'm not trying to copyright your stuff, my friends. Just showing your list so we can talk about it. Enough time. I got a son, busy life. I can't make a graphic on everything in my life. The one that I find most interesting off the rip, John, I want to get your opinion on. You know, Pat Mahomes, Aaron Donald, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, he's favoring quarterbacks, kind of ignoring age, potential decline, whatever. Is the TJ Watt is the sixth overall player, Myles Garrett's nine. I think TJ Watt's a hell of a football player. I think he's a complete player from the perspective of playing both phases of the game. I do think that he has a lot of opportunity. What people do, like Pete here, try to say he led the NFL in sacks with 15 and was a runner for Defensive Player of the Year. I think, personally, what happens with him is people point to stats, but they don't point to the help he has along that defensive front to get those stats. But I still think TJ Watt's a great player. I just don't, in a world where a guy like Brandon Thorne, who breaks down high quality, low quality sacks and everything in between, you know, and his rankings are based on the guy's going up against skill, how easy the sack was to accomplish. Was it a sack where you were unblocked? Or was it a sack where the tackle just completely whiffed, or a protection issue? Or was it one where you beat a high caliber player with a move or a double move, or you beat a double team? That stuff's tracked, and Miles was by far the best in the league last year. So I think we have ways to go with studying defensive end play. I think PFF tries to crack the egg a little bit, but they don't fully cook the egg, like that analogy. I don't think they fully cook it. I think Brandon really is on to something, but I'm not a homer. I don't know. You're a Browns fan too. So at our core, we're Browns fans. We try to be as objective as possible, but at minimum, they're the same player. I think Miles is more talented. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's had by far less help along the line, along the whole front seven as a whole. And But you do see when people start to rank the defensive ends, you see TJ Watt in there, you see Bosa's in there, and that's generally the group at this point. You know, people seem to be leaving out, they seem to be leaving out Mac for some reason these days. But the list that you've seen this offseason seem to be the Bosa's, TJ Watt, Myles Garrett. I think that Myles generally comes out on top of that list for most, but this seems kind of like a fan type ranking. In general, it's weird to me. Like, I don't like these lists when you combine all these players. I just think that positional value is so different that I think trying to do a all-encompassing best players in the NFL list is just bad to begin with.
It's really hard because not all positions on the field are created equal, right? Like, the difficulty of some positions is extremely more broad, I guess, in terms of what it takes to succeed than it does at other positions. So it's hard to make a list of full-on play. I mean, you know, he doesn't even list another Brown until, and again, like, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is fine. Is he a better football, Allen Robinson, a better football player than Nick Chubb right now? Michael Thomas lately? Like, I just don't see it. I mean, you try not to, I'm sure if you talked with every fan base, you know, if you talked with every single fan base, it would be some sort of complaint, right? Like, that would be a thing that goes on there. But I mean, to have no Browns players between 9 and 63 feels a little crazy to me. No John Johnson at all, who I think Pro Football Focus graded him as their third overall safety today, which feels about right to me. We'll finish this thing out and kind of talk about some other players. They give Odell 81. I can't remember. Joel Batonio's 86. And then for some reason, unbeknownst to me, he has some interesting late quarterbacks there. Wyatt Teller gets on at 96. So they have, what, four there? And then he just missed. Apparently there were 75 players who just missed his top 100. So he has 175 players. I don't know, man. It's all over the board. It's probably people who follow Pete Prisco probably think that he hates everything about Cleveland or whatever. But I mean, like, I think the better question that happened today, John, was Ken Carmen, who was of 90 of the Fan up in Cleveland, who said, this is a good question. Who would you consider the best football player on the Cleveland Browns? And you ignore positional value. You ignore arbitrary things that you could say, this, that. Just who's the best football player? So I'm interested in what you thought of that question and who you would consider the best football player. I think most of us would agree it's one guy, but I think it's a little more open to conversation than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's discussion, but I mean, Myles Garrett is the guy right now until, you know, I think that there's times where Denzel can play like one of the best corners in the league. I think that Nick Chubb vies for the best running back of the league. I think there's some things that he could do more in the passing game, which maybe holds him out of that. You know, but we have several guys that vie for the best at their position of the league. So it's a discussion. But to me, I think Miles is the guy. You're going to ask me, that's 95 is always going to be the answer for me until, you know, coming into the season. Let's put it that way.
Sure. I kind of look at it as, could Miles play linebacker and be okay? Yeah, probably. He could be fine there. Could he, like, find as if he played big safety in, like, a 4-2-5 defense, could you put him at slot and he would hold his own as, like, an overhang defender? Yeah, he'd be fine. Could you put him at tight end? Sure, I think he'd be okay. Could you hand him the football and get a couple yards? Probably. You know, like, could you put him at wide receiver and he wins a jump ball? Sure, I think he could do those things. It's kind of the same thing. The only person I thought about with this as well was Odell, where it's like, if you put Odell has a crazy arm. He can kick the football extremely well. If you caught some of the pregame videos, the dude can kick from like 45 yards in. He's obviously quite fine as a wide receiver. He can handle that role. He could put his fingers in the dirt and play tight end, I guess, if he needed to a little bit. He's going to get waxed, but he could at least do some of the things the position requires. Could he play like an overhang defender on defense? Probably. Could be an annoying pressure guy going after the quarterback, making a one plant, making somebody miss in protection. Sure. Could he play slot corner? Absolutely. I think he could play corner. So it's like he's another guy who that's probably the case. Like, I love Nick Chubb, but I don't know. Nick could probably play linebacker, and that's probably it. You know, I just don't see the lateral ability. Like, could Denzel play wide receiver? Sure. Could he do some of the other things? Like, throw a football, do some of the stuff Odell can do? No. So it's like I see sort of Odell and Miles as the two clear favorites there. You know, if you wanted to look at the big guys, like the offensive linemen, Joel Bitonio is much better athlete than people give him credit for. I definitely think Joel Bitonio is he could have had a great career as a tackle. You know, I think he could have handled that. And I think when they flirted with that before the Ronnie Harrison move there a couple years back, I thought he was fine in camp. So I would say Joel's going to go down as one of the best Browns in history, especially this phase of Browns football. He'll go down as one of the better ones. They're very durable. And I hope they can work out a long-term contract. But, yeah, he'd be the guy you'd point to. I mean, why Teller seems like a pretty good athlete, too, as far as, like, you caught some of his spring, like, when he falls and springs back up and some of those just rare explosion things. So, it's a fun question. Denzel was ranked 8th among corners in the NFL from Pro Football Focus. Do you think that's right?
I don't have an issue with it. You know, he's got the injury concerns. He hasn't had great tackling numbers since he's been in the league. When he's been on the field, he's been pretty damn good. But, you know, when, in terms of this list, I mean, I'm not going to argue for him at number one. So, you know, the difference between maybe 3, 4, and 8 probably isn't, you know, that much. And if he comes out and plays a full healthy year, he can easily be, you know, top 3. But I wouldn't argue that he's better than Jalen Ramsey.
No, probably not in the Jair Alexander conversation yet either. I think Jair's been just a bit more consistent football player. They had James Bradbury 5th from the Giants. I was kind of like, that's interesting. Don't totally see that.
I try and like to take a blurry kind of wide-eyed view at these rankings like that where, you know, you get into those specifics and there's always some, you know, wonky picks. I mean, the one that, you know, I don't mean to like get completely out of order, but like the one that stood out to me on Briscoe's, I mean, he's got Derrick Henry as the 11th best player in the league. That's bonkers to me. So, you know, you get into the specifics on some of these. I don't have a problem. I think Denzel belongs somewhere in that kind of 3 to 8 range, depending on what you're looking at specifically. I think so.
Sure. If you broke them down between zone and cover corners, man corners, stuff like that, I think he would get a little higher. I mean, like, I think this year, if he's fully healthy, he has a chance to jump into that top 5 category, Tre'Davious White from the Bills type territory. Sure. That he could get into there. I think he's right on the cusp. I think he's, unless he just has a terrible injury luck season, doesn't play well, and all of that, I certainly don't see a way in which they don't keep him to give him another contract. Such a tough position to always find guys. I like thinking about candidates that can make a jump too. You would love to see one of Greedy or Greg Newsom creep onto the end of that list, right? One of the 32 guys by the end of this season going into next season. That would be a ton of fun to see those guys creep on. And, you know, they don't have to be the guy. Denzel's the guy, so they have an opportunity to cover the lesser of opposing teams' weapons. So the safety rankings also came out. Again, lists are stupid. We hate them, but we love them when our guys are near the top, right? Like,
sure.
John Johnson's the 3rd-ranked safety. This was cool. I think it's really neat. John Johnson's the 3rd-ranked safety, which feels about right to me. He was behind Simmons. Justin Simmons and someone else. It wasn't Jesse Bates, who I thought they would rank.
Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith, a longevity deal there with Harrison, who's still great. That's a great ranking for him. He's been near the elite mark in 3 of 4 seasons. He had the injury-riddled season his 3rd year in, so that's awesome that the Browns have now added a top 5 player at the position and at a position of dire need. And what was cool was seeing Ronnie Harrison leak on there at 30, a guy who could take a real jump. And Grant Delpit, who we all probably would consider a more talented player than, and from a physical tool standpoint, you could say is a higher ceiling guy than John Johnson. I don't know what Grant Delpit, the leader, looks like, right? I don't know some of those things quite yet. But I certainly think that they have a nice basis now with those two guys in the top 30 and a guy who has every bit the opportunity to creep onto that list himself too, right?
Yeah, and I spent some time thinking about rookies, and we kind of have some situations where some of these guys are almost like rookies in Delpit and Greedy Williams. I think that people. I saw a ranking I think the other day that had the Browns as the best defense in the AFC, and I have high hopes for this defense, but. If you're going to talk about any kind of defense and list players that are either rookies or were injured and coming back from rookies, like it's kind of 90% of rookies do not have years. That's just the facts. 90% of the rookies are probably going to grade 60 or lower in PFF this year. So you want to be one of the lucky guys. Denzel Ward had a very good rookie season. I mean, we consider Jedrick Wills having a very good season. He was like 63, something like that, and that was a pretty good season. Yeah. That was nice. But,
you don't want the pressure on those guys, right?
Absolutely. So having Greedy, having Newsom, having Delpit, and JOK, you would hope that, if you got two of those guys that had pretty good seasons this year, I mean, you're doing pretty well percentages wise. And that would be what takes, I think, the Browns from a very improved defense to something, inside the top 10, top five type deal. But you don't expect that. You don't sit there and say the Browns are going to be a top five defense because of JOK and Newsom. It's crazy. Or Delpit. Like, you don't know what you're going to get out of these guys. They got a ton of talent, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think if they just get into the top 10, that's a huge win for me. I mean, that's like huge. Being a top 10 NFL defense is really good, you know. And there's really few teams with the way defensive data performance is so unpredictable. There's some level of prediction, but the sustainability is not quite as consistent as offenses, right? So, like, if there's teams like the Rams who feel really good about their defense and fans should expect certain things, but and even the Rams are going through some changes. They lost their DC. Yeah. They lost John Johnson. They lost Troy Hill. They lost some parts. So I think you just look at paper talent and then see what do you think the ceiling is. I think the ceiling is a top five defense. And then I think what you should expect is a top half of the league defense. Top 15 would be what they have invested, John, right? And what you would hope the talent can turn into. Any number of things can happen to the talent. They could get hurt at any. A lot of these guys are injury risks. There's no doubt about that. But you make a great point, John, about you can't sit here and say, well, Greg Newsom and John and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and Tommy Togiai, these guys are gonna be stalwart. If you get that play like you got from Denzel before his concussions his rookie year. That's unexpected. You cannot expect guys. It could happen like the way it did for Denzel. But for the most part, you get seasons like Greedy Williams, who was sort of in the 60s and 50s, and that's okay. You're an average player. You get the feel for it. You get the little nuances down, and then you go from there. And that's what you want, and especially from Grant Delpit, who's coming back from his series, and he is a rookie. He didn't get any real time. I mean, he was hurt so early in camp, and nobody got preseason games. You want Grant to hit a stride by midseason, and the best part about it is even JOK, who has a clear path to a starting role in this defense, if it doesn't work out right away for him, they're not in trouble. If Grant needs time to get ready to play, you're not in trouble. You have two safeties you can play all the time and can be okay. Like, that's the thing. None of these rookies have the Jedrick Wills situation where, hey man, if Jed doesn't start at left tackle for us week one, we're in a heap of trouble. Like, that's not a thing. And so that's the beauty of the roster construction right now. And I think what Andrew Berry, if you got him alone to talk to him, would say is, man, like, if he sat down to reflect on where he is right now, 2 years into this thing, not even 2 years into it, it's truly 1 year plus some change. Is I like that we're in a position now where we don't have to make young football players make winning plays all the time. We have ways to combat young rookies developing. That's a huge thing because teams that are consistently asking rookies to come in and be really big contributors, they're why teams continually draft high. It's just it's the fact, man. Sometimes you hit on them, but sometimes you don't. More often than not, you don't. So you need that, right, John?
Yeah, I was going to say, the, you know, the times where you get like a Tampa Bay who has a draft class with Wirfs and Winfield, or the Saints who got, you know, that insane draft class a few years ago with Lattimore and Marcus Williams and Ramczyk, and I think Kamara was in there as well. Like, it was like, that's fan fiction for draft nerds, you know, like that, that just, you know, that happens once 5-10 years, you get a draft class like that where these guys come in and they're stars right away. And so, yeah, you'd hope for that, but you know, you just, you can't expect it. I think you've got the, you said it right a few minutes ago. The expectation should be a top half defense with a high ceiling if we get a couple of home runs here.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I listen, that analysis is spot on. It's rare. And the thing that like Antoine had and Wirfs had is like a championship level group around them, right? Like not even the Tampa Bay defense had a lot of developing to do, and that saying Antoine wasn't a huge part of that is fiction. He was a very big part of that. But you know, if you can find one of those guys right away, Ali, what's up, man? You're a fan from the UK. I see you in the comments. That's cool, man. Welcome aboard. You know, that stuff is not expected, but if you hear quotes, you hear things, you watch preseason games. If JOK gets it early, you'll see it. You'll see it, right? And Greg Newsome, you'll see it too. These guys, okay, they get it right away. You can tell. But what you want is the guys like Greedy Williams, the guys like Jordan Elliott, the guys now going into year two. I need to see you make a bigger impact now, because now is where it's like, okay, your foot's on the gas. You've had a full year in the league. You know the ins and outs of what you're expected to do in the preseason, what you're expected to do leading up to the season, what the game days look like, what the game speed feels like. You have to start showing it year two, especially if you're not a first-round pick where you get only 4 years. You got to show it. So year two jumps are very real. So that's what you would hope to see, is a lot of year two jumps from these guys, and Jed Wills especially. It's hard. Yeah, I think there was a quote that came out from who's the right tackle switching to left tackle, just – Penei Sewell was like, hey man, this is really hard. Like, and obviously if you would have put Penei Sewell in last year's class with Jed and all of those guys, he would have been the first guy selected without a doubt. He would have been the first guy selected in that class. So it's hard. And Jed didn't have any preseason. Jed didn't, and we'll break down Jed way more later. I got more to come on that, but like, you got to remember the challenges he was doing, like in his backyard drills, like from right tackle to left tackle, man, this guy's hard. So, you know, Tristan Wirfs gets to stay on the right side. He gets to play with the quarterback who gets the football out almost faster than anyone in the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to what Tristan Wirfs is doing. I love Tristan Wirfs. He's a freak of nature athlete, testing guy. He's good. But he had some built-in advantages that someone like Jed didn't, and that's different. And there was new things for Jed to learn. So I'm not – I had a question that came up there in the Ask the Insider section at the OBR, John. Like, there's no remorse about taking – Tristan Wirfs, or sorry, there's no remorse about taking Jedrick Wills at all. It's way too early. And I think he was still fine his rookie year, especially with all the challenges he faced. So we'll shift away from that, John. I want your opinion on OTAs. I feel like we've been doing this. It's like the theory of you have kids and you're like a middle-aged man and you feel like you wake up and it's the same day on repeat, like Groundhog Day. My dad's favorite quote is like, you know, say, what's up? He's like, you know, same fight, different round kind of thing. Like, it just feels, I feel like every year we do this with OTAs, man. And I think if your expectation was that the Browns were all going to be there on time for OTAs because of the climate of the NFL and the leader of the NFLPA being on their team, I think you were a little bit, expectations were wrong, right? There's just no need to panic about this stuff still. True.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cue the Groundhog Day, throwing the toaster in the bathtub, you know, when I see this pop up on Twitter, because it just doesn't matter. You know, we got the guys on the way now. Would you have liked to have everybody? Yeah, you would. But, you know, we didn't have anything last year, and these guys picked up. And they're doing things on the side, and just ultimately it just doesn't matter. You know, the rookie camp happened. That matters a little bit more to me than some of these vet camps. Sure. And it is voluntary. Sorry, but, you know, they don't pay to make it guaranteed that these guys are there. So, you know, I guess there's just nothing else to talk about. I mean, talk about the Indians or something, you know, because OTAs aren't worth my time, you know. And no, I don't really talk about the Indians either.
No, I'm with you. We love the Indians, but, you know, we can't talk about them all the time. And no, OTAs are like, you know, it's they're timing things. They're just on the – if you want your team to have perfect, like, optics, you know, then that's great. Everyone shows up on – but I think J.C. Treader's fighting a big fight. And let me ask you this. Would you rather – okay, like somebody was – and I like Roberto on Twitter. He's a nice dude. I like him, but – would you rather, okay, like they want Baker Mayfield to show up despite all of maybe, to me, from the outside, John, it's like, it looks to me like there's something going on unified with the offense where they're saying, we talked with Kevin Stefanski, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and we'll be there at these points. We're going to do this. I'm sure, I know for a fact Baker has thrown with his guys. I have no doubt the offensive line, based on the veterans those guys are, have put in time. They're not sitting around doing nothing. They're not learning a new system. That's important, too. They're not learning some new system where they got to go in and learn the verbiage and they're trying to learn. They're doing a lot of the same things this year. They're going to tweak things as any NFL team does, but they're doing a lot of the same things. So there's not a learning the new system challenge. I think they will get there. I would rather not have like Baker show up and maybe one other guy, and it causes a big rift between the cohesiveness and the glue of this plan they've had this offseason. I would rather not that happen. I don't want there to be any disconnect on what the plan was and like, oh, well, Baker's trying to show us up by arriving. You don't want those things. I'd rather them be unified. I'm sure they're putting in work. They're putting out the sick highlight workout videos. Baker had one up today. You know, those guys with the production value of these things are like Marvel movies nowadays, but they're going to be okay. Would I prefer to see pictures and videos of the Browns all together at Berea working out? Yeah, of course. That'd be cool. But it's not all sunshine and rainbows sometimes. I'm glad the defense is there because they might not have a new system going in, but they have potentially 9 new starters. And Grant Delpit's a young guy, and Greedy didn't play in the system last year. I love seeing those guys there because there's a ton of value at that point. But I'm not going to sweat these guys, you know? It feels like wasted energy, John.
Yeah, I've got a lot more to say. Again, I don't really want to get into it, but I would have a lot more to say just about the thing as a whole. I don't have really anything to say about the Browns specifically. I think what they're doing league-wide, it's a tough ask for guys that aren't made money, you know, in this. So I think that's rough, and I think that's what's always been tough in terms of CBA negotiations and those kind of things, is that there's the haves and the have-nots, and it's stuff like that. So, that's the discussion for me, not individual Browns players and what this might do for, you know, us. This is a league-wide type thing. And like you said, it is much more important for these defensive guys who, you know, it's practically a brand-new defensive side of football.
It is. Yeah. It is. There's a lot to learn there for a lot of guys. And, you know, I don't think it's like high school football or college football even, where the guys who are out for the year are hanging around the system, you know? Like, they're not on the sideline. I mean, there's a lot for Greedy and a lot for Delpit to get in there and apply. So I have no concern. I think if I'm concerned, I'll share it with you. Like, I think, like, man, if mandatory minicamp arrives and they're not all there, then you start saying, okay, this is probably a little bit of an issue at this point. So that's wasted energy. I would, again, you're not wrong if you tell me, like, they should be at OTAs. Yeah, they probably should, but – you know, they're grown men and they're trying to do something unique with the with everything going on, and I'm sure they're getting the work in. I don't have a doubt about this. I'm not going to waste my time arguing with folks about it. You know, you have your opinion, that's fine, but from my perspective, it's not worth you spending energy on. So anyway, this was fun, John. Many good topics about things that don't matter tonight. We talked about things for a half hour that don't even matter, but that's how this goes for this 2-month stretch. So as usual, my friend, I appreciate you.
Have a good one, Jake.
All right, guys, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks for joining us. Please like, share, subscribe, do all those fun things with the podcast. Thanks for joining us on YouTube, and subscribe to this YouTube because you go ahead and get notified every time we go live. So I appreciate that stuff. Thanks to John again, and we'll keep going with these things every day. We'll have a new Chalk Talk session for you guys tomorrow, which will be cool. We'll get with John Stephenson, and we'll talk all about defensive techniques and fronts and all that fun stuff. So that's a wrap. Check you out again tomorrow when we can talk about some X's and O's. And if you want to join us, grab a beer and let's talk football, and we'll see you there. Till next time, go Browns.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.